Hi, and welcome to the Georgia Politics Podcast. I'm Joseph G. of Monotonous.net and Orville.org. We are here to talk about Georgia politics. With us today are...
Nikki from MelindaLux.com.
Griff Drift from Drifting Through the Grift.
This is Joe Winter from JoeVentures.com and BlogLanta.com.
This is Decatur Guy from Atlanta Public Affairs and sometime contributor to Peach Pundit. Although some might say I'm not a contributor, but I'm detributor.
We're right on the eve of the Georgia legislature opening up. As we're recording this, it's going to be happening the next day on Monday. Right now, the big story is Glenn Richardson, current Speaker of the Georgia House. And until recently, it looked like he had that position wrapped up. However, now there's suddenly a story out there with sex, drugs, kind of payola involved. And it's put his position at risk, although he says he's going to win the nomination with 100% of the votes for Speaker. So I just want to throw this out. If anyone's heard about it, you know, kind of what you guys think about it.
Also, well, I just heard some lobbyist from Atlanta Gaslight wanted a long pipeline and
came he was up
disappointed. Yeah, I was just disappointed.
There was some laying pipe in your window.
Yeah.
I hear the first bill Richardson will introduce will be a constitutional amendment prohibiting adultery. But I don't know what the chances of that passing are. But, you know, I think Richardson will be reelected Speaker. I mean, it's going to happen tomorrow, right? This story, though, has legs. It's going to dominate the session. And I think before it's over, Richardson will be forced out of the speakership.
Well, I don't know if I'd go that far, but the interesting aspect I find of the story is the lack of the AJC running it. It's sort of like, you know, an insider thing at this moment. It's kind of the blogs and the activists all know about it, but it really hadn't hit the media, so most people don't know it. And this is pure speculation, but I get the feeling that the editors are holding back because they sort of know like they're being used. Could be Republicans, could be Democrats, but this is totally a political play, and to run something like that on the first day of the session, that they've got to be kind of wary of that.
Bobby Kahn has already filed an ethics report about this, from what I understand, too, which kind of contributes to the political back and forth that this kind of smacks of.
I think that was a mistake by Kahn, and one of many, but you know, I think this the part of what I read on Peach Pundit was that this might have been a well-placed accusation by Republican rivals of Richardson, maybe some of the ones in the Senate who support Casey Cagle to be the next governor in 2010. And so I think if the Democrats had just sort of sat back and let them implode, it would have been better rather than making it look like a partisan play.
Aside from whether Glenn Richardson becomes the next speaker or not, there's also... Mr. Richardson, in addition to many others in the legislature, have been talking about various schemes to get Georgia's financial house in order or to change the order that house is in regarding our taxes. One proposal I've heard has been and I've heard this over and over again, is the flat tax, but Glenn Richardson himself has proposed this other kind of complicated, you know, flat income tax plus...
Tax thing, is that essentially what it is?
Well, there's also an income. Like, there's an income and
an income
flat tax. Yeah, there's income portion to it also. But it would be across the board, it sounds like, and it wouldn't include, you know, it would fund the schools directly rather than having the funding for them come through through local government. I just want to hear from you guys what you might expect to see or what you think will get passed or what the likelihood of any of this stuff is.
I was involved in a real interesting debate on Peach Pundit with Representative Earl Earhart about his proposal to eliminate the income tax and just rely on a sales tax. But my point was, you know, that's all fine and good, but unless you're planning on cutting spending and eliminating programs or raising taxes, the sales tax, something's got to give, and he was not willing to admit that and basically believes that you can keep the same sales tax rate, eliminate the income tax, and have the same revenues. I'm not a math major, but I understand that that's not possible, and he just refused to admit it.
Well, the only way you can run a sales tax is, and have that be the only thing you run, is if you have a longstanding, reliable, year-round source of income that is all going to be sales. Like Florida is sales tax, but right. they've got a massive tourist industry. Tennessee does not have an income tax, but Tennessee is kind of screwed because they don't have the same kind of tourist industry to support that tax structure that Florida has got, and we certainly don't have it.
Well, I don't know about Tennessee, but I can speak to Florida, and not only does Florida have higher sales tax than us, but they also have a litany of fees, which I think is probably something you may see come out of this legislative session. They're not going to be able to get rid of the income tax. They're not going to be able to raise the sales tax, as Decatur Guy has pointed out on his site. They're not going to be able to cut services to take care of the income tax. So we may start seeing some fees. And, for example, my brother in Florida is building a new house. And this is the part that the Georgia public doesn't really understand. He spent $12,000 in fees before he ever broke ground. The income has to be made up somewhere, and it's going to be in some form of tax or some form of fees, because people are not going to stand for teachers' salaries being cut and roads not being paved. And that's the kind of deep cuts that you're talking about if we eliminate, you know, the 45% of the revenue that comes from income tax.
Well, it's essentially the kind of nickel and diming they're talking about happening to people in Sandy Springs right now, which is that Sandy Springs has, you know, a millage cap or whatever, or however they have it worked out, I forget exactly. But suddenly there's a fee for everything in Sandy Springs, and that's one of the things that I read a smattering here or there of people complaining about, is that suddenly there's a fee.
One of the things they could start cutting would be the per diem for representatives like Earhart, who commute to the Capitol every day.
Amen.
They just raised it by like $50 a day, even for legislators who don't have to get a hotel room in downtown Atlanta. And I think it's just outrageous that these guys can consider themselves conservatives and do stuff like that.
Well, considering the snack food lobby is right off of the chamber, apparently feeding them all the time, which I was hearing about in connection with, what was it, something about the liquor laws? It was changing the blue laws. They're saying that the convenience store lobby has a little area there that they give them, you know, Snickers bars or I don't know.
Oh.
And so clearly their need for food, I believe, is overstated. And because they have it free from a lobbyist right there.
They don't pay for a meal. And I've heard it from another legislature that about a third of the legislators are independently wealthy and don't need to earn an income. About a third try to juggle both a private job and being a legislator. And about another third try to use the legislature as a full-time job.
Yeah,
And those are the people that this $190 a day really helps.
Yeah, I won't name names, but I know one in DeKalb that was pretty much the case.
Right.
Speaking of the liquor laws and the blue laws, I'm interested to know. I've heard a lot this year about those possibly getting repealed, and I'm just wondering what you think the chances of that happening are.
I think that's something that almost assuredly will happen. When you reach above 66% popular opinion that something needs to happen, those guys listen. They're politicians. And just to sort of tag onto that, I don't think the social issues are going to be that big a deal in this legislature either. I mean, we sort of covered them all anyway, but I think what the Republicans in Georgia learned from the national elections is that it was the fiscal hawks in the party that sort of, splintered away, and that's where that support went away, and that's why we're hearing so much about income tax reform and all of the fiscal issues. We're not going to hear a whole lot on social issues.
I don't know. When I was reading about it previously, I felt that there was a pretty strong current against, based on the rural contingent. I mean, I think in the metro area, getting rid of the blue laws is certainly what people want, because no one here in the metro area, I don't think very few people, really care. But I think that the perception on the part of the legislatures, because we have more than one, the legislators from the rural area, is that their people do care about that, whether that's true or not, because I haven't lived in the sticks in a few years now, so I couldn't tell you.
Well, I live about half the time in the sticks, and I'll give it a little different perspective. People in South Georgia, tired of driving to Florida on Sunday.
Assuming they can get there within a reasonable amount of time.
Well, you know, 40 minutes, that's sort of like the liquor line as opposed to the Nat line. If you live within 40 miles of the state line, you're going to Florida on Sunday.
You know, it'd be a boon for Georgia businesses, I guess, really. I mean, take all that money away from Alabama and South Carolina.
The problem is that there's just two issues. It's liquor and it's liquor, and then it's beer and wine. Mm-hmm. And the proposal is really just to extend the Sunday sales to wine and beer, and the liquor stores don't want that. So you've got the liquor store lobbying against any sort of change in the Sunday laws. And so that's going to be a tough feat to be. I think there'll be a vote on it this year. I don't think it'll pass, and I think it'll it won't pass because a lot of the rural Democrats will vote against it.
Any other legislation coming up that that anyone's heard about that you think will be a hot issue in 2007?
Well, there's as I always bring up, transportation legislation coming out. There are two competing proposals. One proposal is from an organization called Georgians for Better Transportation. It's mostly lobbyists, or it's a lobbying group made up mostly of road building firms, and which doesn't necessarily mean better transportation, but we can talk about that later. And what they are looking to propose is to replace the gas tax with a statewide sales tax, 1% sales tax, and this would keep all of the transportation planning power, the power of the purse, with the Georgia Department of Transportation, the state government level. There's another proposal that is being proposed by several chambers of commerce. It's got very wide support among chambers of commerce in the Atlanta region, and that is to allow any two or more counties to get together and propose a list of transportation projects, whether that's transit or roads or sidewalks or whatever, and let the voters of that region vote in a referendum for an increase in the sales tax to fund that.
Well, this being Georgia, my money's on the road builders.
Yeah, they did spend in the past two legislative sessions, they did spend about $15,000 feeding legislators. That's food alone.
Well, I know they always have big parties where the press isn't invited. And,
I think I heard Travis Tritt will be there this year. Is that right? Yeah.
So probably. He was there last year.
I've seen Travis Tritt buying gas before, so he must be on there somewhere.
He must drive a truck.
Motorcycle, actually. But this was years ago, so.
I think Griftrift is right. I don't think we're going to see much social issues, and I think that's for two reasons. Is one, Sadie Fields took a beating in the elections last year. She supported Reed, and then she supported another legislator down in South Georgia that lost. So she left the Christian Coalition and formed her own group. So the Christian Coalition, or the Christian right sort of lobby, has divided itself. So I think that with the defeat of Reed, I think you've seen a decline in their power and an increase in the power of the sort of more business Republicans. So tax reform, I think, is going to be their big shot this year.
And this may be their only shot to do it, because they're coming off of basically a mandate election where they crushed everybody, and they're 4 years away from relinquishing the governor and lieutenant governor positions. So they can do it now without much repercussion from the Democrat Party. If they did it 2 years from now, you know, we'd be seeing advertising, you know, trotting out peach care and, you know, putting people out of the state mental hospitals and everything. So this is probably their one shot to make a real radical change to tax, and they're going to go for it.
We might be at the high water mark for Republican control in the state. Just demographically, I'm not sure that it's going to get any better for them.
Yeah.
So I think if they're going to do anything radical like that, now's the time to do it.
Well, a little bit closer to home, there's been a lot of kind of angst and fighting back and forth from all kinds of different parts of the political spectrum about a little place in Johns Creek called the Love Shack that opened up pretty recently. And last I heard, John Cornetta was under an order to shut the store down or change the mix somehow of the products that he sells, which tend to be adult novelty products. I've got two people on here who've written extensively about it, or who actually live in Johns Creek, Nikki and Griftrift. So I'm kind of wondering if you guys could kind of fill us in on what's going on there.
Well, I will say, as the person that has written about it, I'm kind of sad, because I think it's going to sort of fizzle out at this point. As I attended court hearings and talked to the people involved, it became very apparent to me that Fulton County just wanted to wash their hands of this whole thing. They really wanted no part of it, and the Johns Creek ordinances took over last Thursday night at midnight. So I sort of got the feeling from Steve Rosenberg, the Fulton County attorney, that he was just kind of, he wasn't going to really push it and then leave it at Johns Creek. And the interesting thing was, is that at about 11 o'clock Thursday night, John Cornetta, the owner of the Love Shack, literally started rolling trucks into the parking lot and bringing back all of his adult-oriented material that he had taken out to comply with the federal judge's order. So the minute it became Johns Creek, he loaded it all back in there. And Johns Creek did nothing the next day. They basically said nothing. And I think this is a case of they've bitten off more than they can chew. I mean, to start a city is a pretty complicated deal. And to have your first thing being that you're going to be in court with a porn king, first of all, they don't have the money. They don't have the infrastructure to fight it. So they, I kind of get the feeling that they want to just kind of see it go away.
I would like to see it go away. I probably live, I live on the liberal side of 2 miles from the area, from the actual location. And, you know, it's not, as you've noted, really visible from the road. It's kind of on the back side of a liquor store, essentially. It's on the far side of the liquor store. And, you know, I think that they think that they want to fight it, but I just really hope they have something better to do. And because God knows they do have something better to do, because they've got to get the city started, and even if they are going to hand it off to CH2M Hill or whatever the name of the company is, it doesn't matter. There's still something to do. And it's just, I mean, on the one hand, I feel like him coming in there has been, I know, a long time coming, because once I realized where the location was, I realized that I noticed a very long time ago, because I frequented the liquor store, that they were doing reconstruction on that building. They were remodeling it. So it's been a long time coming. So if someone wanted to do something about it, I don't think it was necessarily some kind of a surprise that he showed up with his dildos and lube and porn videos and whatever else. But it's totally overblown.
I think it's a case where both sides sort of got puffed up and spoiling for a fight without really wanting a fight, and they've never really had a conversation about it. You know, Johns Creek is a brand new city, and it seems to be routine now that we have all these cities popping up like toadstools, that the first thing they do is try to pass adult ordinances, you know, to get rid of strip clubs, the bookstores, whatever. And nobody really sat down and talked about this. And when I talked to a resident of Johns Creek last week, you know, she was under pretty severe misconceptions about John Cornetta and about the Love Shack. One of the key things that came out in that is Mr. Cornetta claims that he offered to Mike Bodker to house a police substation in his building, rent-free. This lady, who was one of the proponents in the fight, had never heard that. And, you know, if these people sat down and talked to each other, there might be a way to figure this out, but it would just became about, you know, we're a new city, we don't want porn, let's go fight.
Well, because so many people that were running would say at these meetings, you know, well, they had a meeting at a high school with a bazillion people, and they were all, we don't want porn here.
Right.
Well, you know,
I read in a response, actually, on your husband's blog, Nikki, where John Cornetta himself wrote about how this store in Little Johns Creek is his highest revenue-generating store right now, and I'm sure some of that has to do with all the publicity that the anti...
Oh, absolutely. And is it what I would have chosen to do with my money? No, it's not, because I personally would not care to have this fight with these people, because I just don't care for most of them, myself personally, and limiting my contact with them would be my preference. But, you know, it's on 120, it's straight in from Duluth. It's a high traffic area. I mean, it's a high traffic area that's being rebuilt to facilitate that traffic. So, you know, anyone going from Northern Gwinnett County to North Fulton County, you know, from Duluth to Alpharetta or from Duluth to Roswell, has got a good chance of driving by there. And, you know, people up in that area, they have a little bit of cash in their pockets. So they're going to spend it somewhere, and why not there? It's more convenient than ordering it from Amazon or whatever else they're going to do with their spare time. So
all that money spent too is taxes generated for the city of Johns Creek.
Well, it was funny.
I'm sure they'll earmark those for something that doesn't have to do with children, or I don't know.
But it was funny because I asked him, you know, about opening in more fluid areas. That seems to be part of his business model. I mean, he's open in Peachtree Corners. He's open on Roswell Road. He's not going for the classic places that you would think of adult entertainment, like Cheshire Bridge. And he pretty much gave me a Willie Sutton answer. You know, he's like, that's where the money is.
You can charge more for your videos there.
Exactly. He's like, these people have money, and it's disposable income money, so sure, I'm going to open my stores there.
Well, and it kind of feeds into something that that Amber of beingamberray.com wrote about the other day, that the porn industry tends to over-serve niche sort of groups. Mm-hmm. These are pretty vanilla people who are going to be buying... You know, by and large, they seem to be vanilla people anyway on the outside. They're certainly not going to run around in what they wear in their bedrooms out in public.
Well, yeah, but see, those are usually the ones that do have the stuff.
Exactly.
In their
and, you know, and there were some things these I are perfectly the normal people who appear to be normal, at least on the outside, whatever normal may mean to you. And, you know, but they're not part of some strange underground something. There are a million videos because you can sell those. They're perfectly normal people who have perfectly normal sexual needs and urges, who want to get them taken care of in a perfectly normal way.
Kind of like Glenn Richardson.
Exactly. And, you know.
You know, one of the funniest things was when I went up and visited the store the other day because he was under the contempt order. And there was a chance Fulton County was going to show up and, you know, lock the door. And I wanted to get pictures.
And that would be dramatic.
Oh, it would have been great. But, of course, nothing happened except I'm standing there on the sidewalk with, like, the local news gaggle. And this car pulls up and it's this older couple. They had to be at least 70. And so my first thought was, okay, they're confused. And then I said, well, maybe they're just going to the liquor store. But nope. The gentleman got out of the car. He had a little brown plastic bag, which obviously contained a DVD. No shame in it at all. He walked right in the store, turned in his DVD rental, and walked right back out, got in the car, and they drove off. So, I mean, it sort of summed up the whole scene for me. You know, most people don't care. And it's not like this guy is out there... I will clarify, at this point, he's not out there with searchlights and neon signs. He has done that in the past, so maybe they have something to worry about. But at this point, he's not harming anybody.
Well, it's not Amsterdam. There aren't burlesque dancers in the windows. You know, you're not going to be able to walk in and pay. I mean, I would think you would not be able to walk in and pay for a prostitute. So,
unless you're in Sugarloaf.
Right. You know, all bets are off in that area of town. But it's just, it's not that big of a deal, people. It's just really not. I promise you, you have something else to do.
Which is why I think it will fizzle.
The controversy, not the store, correct?
Not the store, no. He's Mr. Cornetta, John Cornetta, is very adamant. I mean, he has sort of taken on this Larry Flint personality. He's a flashy guy. It's kind of hard not to get sucked into his charisma. And but he is sort of taken that mantle of Larry Flint of, I'm a First Amendment warrior, and I'm going to be as crass and crude as I possibly can because I just want to show you exactly what you have to defend in order to defend everybody.
It's good for business, too.
Oh, yeah. I asked him about it. I said, as a businessman, he said he doesn't like the publicity. He said he's had death threats. He had a bodyguard the day that I went and saw him. But he said, you know, he's not going to be coy. You can't buy front page coverage on the AJC. You can't buy the first 5 minutes of TV news, local TV news. So he understands the game very well.
Well, that's very interesting. It'll be interesting to see what happens in the next few months. Anyway, we're out of time. So I just want to go around the table and let everyone give any final thoughts. And I'll start with you, Nikki.
I don't really know if I didn't have a lot of time to really think ahead on this, but I'm hoping the flat tax, we didn't really talk about flat tax or tax proposals. I really hope that doesn't go through because my experience with the information on that is just shows that it's inherently regressive and I think it's a bad idea. But we'll have to see, and maybe in 2 or 3 or 4 weeks we'll be back here talking about an incredibly, you know, blazing failing proposal on that account, and that would be fine. But other than that, I'm expecting the Love Shack to stay open and my Johns Creek brethren to continue to be upset about it, and I shall enjoy it.
Something I would mention that did not get out of committee last year and probably won't this year either is something called Neighborhood Improvement Districts. It's something Florida's had for about 25 years, and if we took a serious look at it, it might be a third way out of this sort of balkanization that's going on with Atlanta with all these new cities popping up. It's basically a proposal that allows private developers to act as quasi-government entities and build sewers and roads and then collect taxes and pay private bonds and things like that. And it's actually worked pretty well in Florida, not for the original intent, which I won't go into here, but it has actually worked kind of well, and it may solve this problem of these new cities where people are saying, we're not getting the services we want, let's make a new city. This could be an easier way to address that. Once again, I'm not sure it's going to get out of committee.
Mm-hmm. A new motto for the Christian Coalition, I guess, would be hate sex, not love. And I guess that's my message for the day.
As I said earlier, expect tax reform to be the big issue, and Speaker Richardson being the big issue. I still contend he's not going to make it through this session.
I want to say thank you to all my panelists for being here tonight. I've had a good time talking about all this stuff. I'm looking forward to seeing what the legislature does do in 2007 and talking with you about that some more in the months to come. So thanks again for listening, and we'll be at you in February with the Georgia Politics Podcast.